Hey, let's get ready for the study of the Word of God. Let's begin with the word of prayer. And, of course, the purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, for without Him, having the Word of God would be of no advantage. But having the Word of God and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to teach us, Father, you've given to us everything necessary to be victorious in our daily life. Pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and to understand about the love wherewith Christ has loved us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we've studied how love is not jealous or envious. Now, I think we've well documented how important that the first negative that Paul dealt with was jealousy. Now, what stems from jealousy is boasting when you are above those that you're jealous of. So the second negative, love does not spiritual love. Remember, it is a love that is given to the Holy Ghost to us by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the love being talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, not human love. Human love can never duplicate what spiritual love manifests before God. So, spiritual love is not jealous, but spiritual love does not boast. And that's where we are in the midst of our studying. Now, we have moved to the point where we left off last week. We just introduced, let's look at the church of Corinth, which is the church where Paul wrote about the impact of spiritual love. And we saw last week that the local church was divided in a lot of different ways. The local church in Corinth had so many different problems. They had a split over who they followed. And what is so funny to me was there was no tape ministry, no TV ministry, no radio ministry, but yet I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of Apollos, I'm of my own, I do my own work. It was just amazing. This little church, or large church really, in Corinth was divided over the speakers. And all of them were very good. And then they were divided over the horrible thing, but it's wonderful in God's plan, spiritual gifts. I have this spiritual gift. Well, I have this spiritual gift. Well, I have y'all all beat. I babble in tongues. So I've got you beat. And it was amazing how this church was, in 1 Corinthians 1, they're given everything necessary. That is astounding. I mean, I just pray and pray and pray for a decent music program. And I don't even pray for hundreds of people, just decent music. They had everything necessary. And they were so divided over it. And so we're looking at how they were divided in the church of Corinth. Now, about 51 A.D., Paul came to Corinth and started this church. And in 56 A.D., he writes 1 Corinthians. So in a short 5 years, this church grew and started dividing. People, it is amazing how quickly Satan moves on a church, on a marriage, on a home, on a person that is oriented to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ. It is amazing. And as we look at America today, he doesn't have to spread out too far. There are not that many churches, that many Christians, that many marriages that want to pursue God's plan. So he doesn't have to be concerned about those Christians that are out in the thule somewhere. So he's going to attack those that are in his plan, in the plan of God. Now, so we're taking a look now at the divisions that are in the church that interfered with fulfilling their mission. And so, on the one hand, some were jealous, envious of others, their spiritual gift, their production, their knowledge, their faith, their prominence, all this. So we had a lot of them that were jealous of each other. But they also had those who were boastful. They were not jealous and envious of others, because they were quite impressed with themselves, who and what they were, and what they had accomplished, and their own spiritual gift. Principle. Not a virtue that there is no jealousy or envy because you are boasting. That's nothing to boast about. Just because you're not jealous to anybody, but boasting of how wonderful you are, you're in the same boat they're in. Their boasting, their bragging, was not in the realm of the world, in the realm of the cosmos. But people, it's in the spiritual realm. It's in the plan of God realm. Always remember, we can boast in the world. Well, look at the car I drive. Look how much money I make. Look at the influence I have. Look at this. Look at the clothes I wear. On and on and on. But boy, when you start boasting in the spiritual realm, the blessings that God has given you, you're really in trouble. And that's what was happening in Corinth. They were pumped up over their spiritual advantages and their spiritual blessings that they had been given. Taking something that God had given to them in grace to prosper the local church. Not even them. Prosper the local church. People, your spiritual gift is not for you. Always remember that. Don't go boasting about your spiritual gift. My spiritual gift is not about me. My spiritual gift is not given for my benefit. It's given for the church. Your spiritual gift is given for the church. Don't make it some big bragabony about how wonderful you are. It's for the local church. The gift of evangelism is for the local church. See, we have the evangelists, but they are given that gift for the local church, for the benefit of the local church. So always be careful about your spiritual gift or any blessing that you're given in the spiritual realm. They're given to build up the local church, not to build up yourself. Now, using their spiritual gift for the subject of boasting and showing off without consideration of others was going on in the church of Corinth, and it goes on in churches today. Instead of using doctrine they learned for edification of self and others, they used their knowledge to brag. In fact, later on, Paul will say, knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. So, as important as understanding the Word of God is, it can cause a person to become arrogant. How much I know. I know believers that actually believe that they will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ based on the amount of doctrine they know. People, that's not true. You learn the Word of God so that you can live the Christian life, so that you can glorify Christ, so that you can function in the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of Christ and the benefit of others, not for your own reward. So there are so many things we need to understand in regard to the area of boasting and of knowledge. So instead of using their doctrine, their knowledge, they learned from various pastors, Paul, Peter, Apollos, and others. Timothy will come there. They will use their knowledge to point out how much they know, how much better off they are than everyone else. So this is not the purpose of the knowledge of doctrine in the soul. Others brag. What could be more important than faith? But there are those who brag about how much faith they have. Say, I have faith. I can remove mountains. I can do this and that. People, the gift of faith or having faith is not the place of bragging. See? Boasting, bragging, exalting self over others. This leads to competition. It leads to friction. It leads to strife in the local assembly. This is the other side of the coin of jealousy, envy. Jealousy, envy, boasting. That's the other side of it. And so both of these will destroy a local church. Believers in Corinth constantly rivaling for public attention, public recognition. I know of churches over the years I've heard, I don't know of them, but I've heard, there are churches that in their foyer, they put a tree, and you take your spiritual gift and hang it up on that tree with your name on it. And that'll get everybody to identify with spiritual gift and go out and work in it. No, people, that kind of stuff is so bad. It is so wrong. Your spiritual gift is for the edification of the local assembly, for the help of others, not of yourself. Now, boasting, bragging, exalting self over others leads to friction, competition, and strife. In fact, Galatians chapter 5 talks about, do not devour one another, or you will consume the whole assembly. You'll destroy your whole assembly. Do not compete with one another. Galatians was the first book Paul wrote. It was already happening early in the church history. Satan uses whatever he can, and he uses our flesh nature to produce these kinds of things that he wants to produce. Now, we're going to see that spiritual love allows worship through thoughtfulness of others. It is a character of boasting and bragging not to be thoughtful of others, while it is the character of spiritual love to always be thoughtful of others. It is the nature of boasting to reject and rebel against God. There is the dilemma. It is the nature of boasting to reject and rebel against God. We saw last week how in one phrase Satan put them both. I will be like God. That's his jealousy and his boasting in one simple phrase. Jealousy, boasting, namely boasting, causes you to be in competition and rebel over and against God. This point concerning boasting is extremely important in understanding the power of the force of spiritual love. Spiritual love submits to God and has no problem doing so. It humbles itself. Remember, the great battle with faith is humility. Do you have the humility to just trust God rather than do it yourself? That's the great issue. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Christ said. Spiritual love causes us to submit to the plan of God. Bragging causes us to rebel against it. Christ also said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So, love is characterized by obedience to God and to his plan. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected, matured. This is love that we walk according to his commandments. That is spiritual love. Spiritual love submits. Spiritual love obeys. But it is the nature of boasting to rebel. This is why spiritual love will never boast. You don't get to boast about it. If you boast about your love, let me tell you something. It's not spiritual love. It's human love. And you're very proud of it. After all I've done for you, I love you so much. See, a lot of people use love to control. I love you, therefore you should not do this to me. I love you, therefore you should do this for me. That's not spiritual love. Spiritual love does not consider when wrong. That's coming up in our study of 1 Corinthians 13. So, we've got to understand the nature of spiritual love in relationship to the negatives. It is not jealous or envious, and it does not boast. Spiritual love submits. Now, we saw this rebellion of Satan marked by boasting of his own greatness and his own plans. Let's look at Isaiah 14. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 14. Now, New Year's Eve, we're going to have our New Year's class. We'll not meet Wednesday night, but we will meet Tuesday night for our traditional New Year's Eve class. And one of the things we're going to note is where rebellion and hostility against God began. It began with Satan. And he is the father of it throughout church history, including right up to America today, and in your own spiritual lives. In your own Christian lives. He is at work. So let's look at Isaiah 14 and begin reading in verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning. That's Saint Lucifer. He is the epitome of God's creation. Son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, now this is in the prehistoric time, in the angelic conflict, before man came on the scene. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Stars of God are angels. Now, what we are seeing here is jealousy and boasting. He's jealous of where God is in heaven, and he's boasting how he will get there. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will do this. I'm so jealous of how angels submit to God, I want to be in God's place. So in one statement, we have boasting, jealousy and boasting. So, he says, I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. Now, we studied the north is the northern part of heaven. That's where the throne of God is. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Okay, this is where his desire is to be, where he's going to go. Boast of Satan from jealousy and envy. Okay? And this always happens in life. People, it's amazing how it happens. You feel you're jealous of somebody, I'm going to get better than them. Okay? This is very hazardous to preachers. Well, I'm jealous of this person's notoriety, I'm going to get there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's just amazing what has happened in the church today. And so this is where we have with Satan. Now, boasting is fundamental to rebellion against God. Spiritual love is fundamental to submission to God. Now let's look at a place in the Word of God where something that boasting will always do. Boasting causes suffering. Boasting causes suffering. Okay, well, you can even see it in our passage before we leave here, where it says, you have made yourself above and you have thrown the nations down. In verse 15, nevertheless, he will be cut down. Oh, I'm sorry, go back to verse 13. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of the assembly, recesses of the north. I will ascend above the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, the recesses of the pit. He's going to bring down other angels. Let's look at Psalm 10. Psalm 10. When I talk to people that are hurting, they're hurting spiritually, they're hurting financially, they're hurting in their marriage, they're hurting in their single life, they're hurting in their life, they're hurting their soul, discouraged, disillusioned, stress, anxiety, depression, SAD, sad. I often will tell them, pick up your Bibles, go somewhere where you're alone, and start reading the Psalms from Psalm 6, and start reading on. Read it slowly. Think about what you're reading. Just read it. And then I'll guarantee you, if you're doing this in the Spirit, within an hour, you will be relieved of your SAD. I had just recently someone I told that to, and I said, well, did you read the Psalms? Yes, I did. They were very good. I said, what did you basically learn when you read the Psalms? I had a laugh at her answer. I said, well, David had more problems than I had. I thought, well, okay, she read it. But let's read Psalm 10, and namely the first two verses, which are extremely important in describing how boasting is the beginning of rebellion against God, and how boasting creates an environment that brings suffering to others. Boasting brings suffering to others. It is the nature of spiritual love to benefit others, strengthen others, edify others. But it is the nature of boasting to rebel against God and bring suffering to others. Now let's read verse 1 of Psalm 10. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Okay, there's so much in this psalm. I could spend months on it. We're going to spend minutes and just a couple of verses. But let me just tell you something so you know yourself. When you find yourself in your prayer life crying out to God, why, you know you're in the conflict. You know you're in the angelic conflict. You're in the battle. Why and how long? These are two key flags that you want to take note of in your own prayer life, in your own life. Why is this going on? How long is this going to go on? I find myself saying that about America. How long are you going to withhold judgment? Because if you withhold it very much longer, you owe Sodom and Gomorrah a big apology. Say, we're in trouble in America. How long is he going to let it keep going? See? Why is this going on? Well, I know why. But when you don't know why and you cry out why, you know you're in the battle. So let's take a look at verse 1 of this great psalm. We're studying in Ephesians 1 the attributes of God in dealing with predestination. To properly, biblically understand predestination, you've got to know the love of God. And it's the era of understanding love that the Calvinists have missed it. You've got to understand the sovereignty of God. It is the problem of the Calvinists that they've missed out on the sovereignty of God, so they come up with the wrong predestination. And you've got to understand the divine decrees of God. You've got to understand those three. But understanding the essence of God is paramount, people, in understanding anything in life. Everything is God. Why does he do things? Why doesn't he do things? What's going on? You've got to understand the essence of God, the attributes of God, how his essence determines how God is going to act. See, we're not any different. How we act, the things is dependent upon our essence. You blow your temper, that's your essence. You handle things wrongly, that's your essence. See? Or you handle things properly, that's your integrity. That's your filling of the Holy Spirit. So, same thing with God. How God handles things in our own lives, in history, depends on his essence. God acts, responds, reacts according to his essence. His attributes determines how he's going to act toward you individually, your marriage, your life, the nation, all these things. It depends on the essence of God. Well, David in this psalm knows that God acts. See, he knows that. God's love motivates God to act in the life of his people. He knows that. But what happens when God does not act? You expect God to act, and it doesn't look like he's acting. It doesn't look like he's doing anything. Now, we're going to see the boastful go to bragging on how they're getting away with what they're doing. See? Bragging finds its inheritance in Satan. Spiritual love finds it in God, namely Christ. Now, the interrogative, why? Why will you not act? comes from one who knows God, who knows that God does act, one who trusts in the actions of God. And therein comes one of our challenges for the new year. Whatever happens in 2020, and we're going to see Tuesday night a lot of the things we're looking at. One of them is a presidential election, a very important one. How does God act? What are you going to do if God doesn't act the way you think He should? Are you going to fall apart? Are you going to become discouraged, disillusioned, and God's in control? That somehow God lost control? And there are so many other areas. There are about 5 big things going on in 2020. And we're going to look at God acting in history. So if you know God, you know that God acts. If you know that God is love, you know that He acts in love. But if you know He's righteous, He acts in His righteousness. And therein lies the great challenge. Are you ready for the righteousness of God? See? Are you ready to trust in His righteous decisions? See? Knowledge plus faith in God. We'll ask why. This is not an inappropriate question. When you ask why, you're not out of line. I love the book of Habakkuk. I love the book of Habakkuk, especially chapter 1, the first 2 or 3 verses. Why and how long? Why is this going on? How long is it going to last? And in Habakkuk, we have the greatest statement in the scriptures. The righteous man will live by faith. So if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to live by faith. You're going to trust Him. I don't know why you're doing this. I don't know how long, but I trust you. You're God. You're in control. See, that's what understanding truth does for the stability of our souls. So one who knows God knows that God acts, and he trusts in the actions of God. Now let's look at our verse, verse 1. Verse 1, why do you stand, O Lord, stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Okay, why do you do that? Why dost thou hide, and the word hide there is still with hide his eyes, thyself in times of trouble? In other words, what he's saying is, it looks like you've hid your eyes and you don't see what's going on. Ever felt that way? Just live long enough, you will. It just looks like God doesn't see my trouble. Don't you see I'm hurting here, God? Don't you see things are bad here, God? Open your eyes, God. Because that's the Hebrew here. You've hidden your eyes. See? Why have you hid your eyes? You're seeing. See? Thyself in times of trouble. A man of faith expects God to act. And when God does not act, it causes that faith in God to go to God and to seek answers, to seek relief. Isn't that what we want, relief? Is relief always the removal of the problem? No, I'm going to show you that. Relief is not the removal of the problem. He has something richer than that, something more powerful than that that we'll take up here. See, it is so important, vital, that we know the behavioral attributes of God, how God's attributes determine how God's going to act. So the more we know God and the attributes of God, His love, His righteousness, His sovereignty, the more we'll understand His action in life. So, the more we know about God, we expect God to act. It is so important and vital that we know the attributes of God, to know how to trust Him. We have a personal God who acts in our personal lives. That's the amazing thing about our God. Some people have a God that's up there, but He's not a personal God that acts in history. He's just up there watching. See? No, we have a personal God who acts in our personal lives. And how God acts and when God acts is dependent on His essence. And your acceptance of it depends on your knowledge See? Your understanding, your faith in the decrees of God. We're going to be looking in our second service eventually. We're still looking at, to understand, we're headed to Ephesians 1:5, predestination. But to understand it correctly, because it has caused a great deal of problems, to correctly understand it, we've got to understand the love of God. Why? Because it says, in love you predestinated. So we got to understand the love of God. We got to understand the sovereignty of God, because He does the predestination. We got to understand the decrees of God. If we understand correctly, biblically, those three, we'll correctly understand predestination and not be confused by it. So we must understand His essence to understand how and why God acts and how it seems like He doesn't act. So the attributes of God determine the plan of God and how He acts in history. Now, when God does not act, when it seems as though God is not acting in our lives, there is a reason. According to His plan, see, He has lessons for each of us to learn individually. No matter whether it's a national thing, a state thing, community thing, a marriage thing, He has things for us to learn. One of the things I hope to bring about Tuesday night, that it doesn't matter what happens in the world, in America, you have your own life to be responsible for. You and I are not responsible. Not to the point we vote, but we're not responsible for who God appoints as president, who God appoints as this, what God appoints economically, militarily, all these things to happen, morally. We are responsible for our own individual life. That's all we're responsible for. Don't put the whole world on your shoulder. Don't put the election in 2020 on your shoulder. See, you put your life. Your responsibility is how you live your life. Well, all that is to come up on Tuesday night. Now, for the all-important phrase, in times of trouble. See that word trouble? That's the Hebrew word, oh, you'll love this. That's the Hebrew word Sarah. Sarah means trouble. So, if you name your daughter Sarah, get ready. You might be welcoming something out of the crib. Alright, the word Sarah means trouble. It means distress. I'm reading right out of a lexicon. It means anguish. It's talking about pain in the soul. Now, it may come from things outside, but those things that happen outside affect our soul. People were created in the image of God and in the likeness of God. One of the things that that means is that unlike animals, we take into our soul the problems outside in the world. They cause pain and suffering in our souls. See? So that's what we're dealing with. In times of a troubled soul, distress in the soul, anguish in the soul. See, you must understand the significance of all that Paul says of love, spiritual love. Remember, spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13. Again, these are not idle statements about love. These are important, vital issues. Every characteristic, every environment, everything said about spiritual love is directly related to the angelic conflict and to your part in it. It is no accident that the fruit of the Holy Spirit, God made spiritual love as a fruit of the Spirit. We need it 24 hours a day. We need it every waking moment. We need spiritual love. And the characteristics of it creates an environment in your soul. That creates an environment in your life, in your marriage, in your church, in your work, wherever you go. It creates an environment. Well, boasting creates an environment of trouble, an environment of distress. Satan was the first to boast, bringing trouble in the angelic conflict. Distress to all the angels who followed him. In human history, boasting creates trouble, distress of others. And competition. Now, what is the solution to this soul anguish? This soul distress. Let's start by looking at Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Job is the first book given to us. It's the first thing God wanted us to know. It's packed with information. But let's just note in passing one quick verse. Job chapter 5, verse 19. Job 5, 19. From six troubles, He, God, will deliver you. Even in seven, evil will not touch you. The ideal is to stay close to Him in the angelic conflict. Look at Genesis 35. Right away in the Torah, we learn this principle. Job was written before the Torah, but let's look at Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 35:3. I can't give it to you real quick because Kid always beats me and I have to find it. He finds it on the internet real quickly. All right, Genesis 35, verse 3. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, has been and has been with me wherever I have gone. People, you got distress in 2020? Where do you go? Go to God. You don't go to man. You don't go to others. You don't even go to your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. Learn to go to God. And then, moving back to Psalm 10, stop at Psalm 9. Look at Psalm 9, verse 9. This is powerful. Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. This is the same word we have, Sarah. In times of trouble, in times of anguish, in times of suffering, in times of distress. So what does it say? A stronghold. People, you want to go where the stronghold is, and the stronghold is the Lord. You'll find it in studying His Word. You'll find it in trusting in His Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will give you peace, love, joy, peace, self-confidence. It'll give you self-discipline. So many wonderful things happens. All right, let's go to Psalm 10, verse 2. It's our verse. Psalm 10, verse 2. In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they devise. Verse 3. For the wicked boast of his heart's desire. Okay, let's look at verse 2. In pride. What is that? Arrogance. Now, next thing coming up, we will complete Love Is Not Boastful one day, someday. And the next thing we will cover, love is not arrogant. Spiritual love. Spiritual love is long suffering. I got to keep reminding you of that. Before I married, I used to teach this, and I would say, listen, I'm not going to fall in love to suffer. What's this long suffering stuff for? Well, now that I'm married, I know what it's for. See? We both need it. She needs it with me more than I need it with her, I'll guarantee you. See? Sometimes I'll look at you and I'll say, why did you marry me? She'll go, I don't know. I go, what do you mean, I don't know? So, it's long suffering. God's love suffers long. Look what He did with the nation of Israel. Look what He's doing with the nation of Israel. Look what He's going to do with the nation of Israel. His love is long suffering. And in spiritual love, your love will be long suffering toward one another, toward yourself. Then it says, love is kind. What is that? That was an interesting study, because that's hard to define. Then the first negative, love is not jealous. Now, love is not boastful. And next, love is not arrogant. Jealousy, boasting, arrogance. Arrogance will be the heart of all of the negatives. See? But here we take a look at the pride, in arrogance. See? First, Satan stopped loving God, Jesus Christ, and then he became jealous of God, and then he became boastful of God. So that's what happened to Satan. I will be like God. This resulted in the manifestation of his arrogance. Arrogance also, like spiritual love, creates an environment, people. Boasting, arrogance, and spiritual love create an environment, first in your soul, and then in your life. What kind of environment do you create when you enter a room? When you enter the marriage? When you enter the church? When you enter work? When you enter anywhere in your life? What is the environment you create? Because we all create an environment. Every one of us create an environment. What environment do you create? Jealousy, boasting creates an environment. Spiritual love creates an environment. See? Spiritual love creates an environment. Pursue those who are related to God. Satan is jealous of God. Don't pursue the things and ways of Satan. Satan boasts. He would be like God and take God's place. Satan hates God. Wants to take God's place. Now look at verse 3. Psalm 10:3. For the wicked boast of his heart's desire. Well, there's so many things here. Well, let's take a look at them. First, see that word for? Don't speed read past that. I took every Greek course that Dallas Seminary gave, even though I majored in Old Testament languages, except one. There was one Greek course I did not take, speed reading Greek. I said, that, forget that. I'm never going to speed read Greek. See, I can't even speed read English, much less Greek. But let's look at the word far. That's what you speed read past. But it's very important. The force of this goes back to verse 1. Don't lose sight of the original question. Silence of God. Inactivity of God. Who is known to act in behalf of those who are saved by grace. Why doesn't he act now? For. See? Why aren't you acting? I'm going to give you the reason. For the wicked are doing this. This is the reason you ought to be acting. So that little conjunction, for, is very important. Why doesn't he act now? For the wicked boast of his heart's desire. Why doesn't God act? The force of this particle is important to David. Look back at chapter 9, verse 4. Chapter 9, verse 4. For you have maintained my just cause. Where does it come from there? Look at verse 3. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you. Why? For you have maintained my just cause. Be able to do this in your prayers with God. People, don't just have your prayers simple. Help. You know, thanks. Talk with God. I need you now, for times are rough. Times are tough. Or when he does, you know, I see that you have helped me, for I've trusted in you. That word far is very important in your prayer life, in your own life with people. See? Why do I love you? For this reason. You've done this, you do this, you give me strength, courage, happiness, fulfillment. Be able to express these things to those you love. For. God does, we ought also. So this word for becomes very important. I didn't want you to speed read past that word for. Hope you're beginning to understand how horrible boasting really is. We do not think very much about boasting. We do not give it much significance. But if you study the Word of God, you will soon discover that it is fundamental to rebellion against God. I will be like God. Boasting. Boasting leads to rebellion. You want to see where it starts? Look at Genesis chapter 3. This is where it starts in the human race. We saw where it started in the angelic conflict in Isaiah 14. Let's see where it starts in the human race. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now, okay, now we're going to set the scene. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field Now, the serpent is not the snake at this time. He's a beautiful creature. Eve enjoyed talking to this creature. Okay. Then any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Lucifer, as this creature, could talk to Eve. And when Adam was out naming all of the plants and animals and stars and all the rest of it, she was over here having this conversation. Ladies, be careful. Social infidelity begins the conflict in a marriage. Okay. 4. The serpent was more crafty than the beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, Indeed, has God said, You shall not eat from any tree of the garden? No, that's not what God said. And she has it straight. The woman said to the serpent, From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, You shall not eat it or touch it. God didn't say that. She added to the word of God. People, beware of adding to the word of God, and beware of preachers adding to the word of God. Okay. Or touch it, or you will die. Okay, you got that right. The serpent said to the woman, You shall surely not die. Lie. Verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. Now get ready, and you will be like God. Well, that did it for her. She could be like God. Satan wanted to be like God. We want to be like God. Anytime you decide your plan is better than his plan, you're going to be like God. You're taking God's place. God says do this, you say no. God says do this with your time, you say no. I'm going to do this. God says do this with your money, you say no. I'm going to do this with my money. See? God says go here, no, I want to go there. You're taking his place. You're going to be like God. We do it all the time. Don't come down too strong on her. We all do this. We're going to be like God. See? And that's what happens here. Okay. Secondly. So first of all, we looked at far. Secondly, the wicked boast of heart's desire. Not in reality, but simply of or concerning their heart's desire. They boast in what they desire, not in what they have, and who they are. Always pay attention when people are boasting. Do they really have that? Is that really who they are? See? I will do this and I will do that. Boasting. See? Thirdly, look at that word, wicked. Wicked. This refers to all members of the human race who follow after the ways of Satan, believer, unbeliever. In the church age, this can be a believer, this can be an unbeliever. Wicked. In context, it refers to the unbeliever. But it can refer to unbeliever and believer. All members of the human race who follow after the way of Satan. When you boast, you imitate Satan. He's the father of boasting. We know he's the father of lies. He's the father of boasting. He was the first creature to boast. Now, we've looked at Isaiah 14 to follow that, so we don't need to turn to that again. But the boasting of Satan is in his heart. People, the place of boasting is in our soul. Remember, please remember, boasting is part of the immune system of your flesh self. It is there to protect the flesh self. And when flesh self feels threatened by someone else's promotion or someone else, what someone else has or something, flesh self feels threatened, and boasting comes to protect flesh self. It has to boast to protect flesh self. It's part of the immune system. Just one of many of the immune system of our flesh self. Jealousy is part of the immune system. Boasting is part of the immune system of our flesh self. Spiritual love, that's the immune system of your spiritual self. It protects who and what you are in Christ. So that's why you always want to be in the Holy Spirit, have to pour in spiritual love, because that will protect who you are in Christ. So remember, boasting is part of our immune system inside your soul. Here in the soul is where the angelic conflict is fought. The battle today is a battle for men's souls. Your mind, your thinking. This is the battle today. See? Now it uses other things, sex and pleasures and things, but it's after your soul. This is what Satan wants. See? The movement, psychology of self-promotion, is very big today. Pleasure of self. Do what self wants. God is not important. So, just remember, you're dealing with a battle for your soul. Satan is the father of boasting, and when you boast, you follow after Satan. When you love, you're following after Christ. You're glorifying Christ. Boasting will not permit spiritual love. Spiritual love will not permit boasting. Anytime you boast, you go, uh-oh, it's a flag. See, nobody needs to tell you. After you learn a certain amount of truth, nobody needs to tell you you're not in the Holy Spirit. My wife never needs to tell me. See, she looks at me, but she doesn't need to tell me. I know. See? All I have to do is listen to my own words. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Pay attention to what I'm doing. And I know that's not the filling of the Spirit. I'm not in the Holy Spirit. If I listen, learn to listen to your own words. I know. And when we boast, I know something. I'm not in the Holy Spirit. Cut that out. Get back into the Holy Spirit. See? That's what we have to do. So, this is where we are in our study. Now, back to Psalm 10:3. For the wicked boast of his heart's desire. Now, for the heart of the problem. For the wicked boast. Now this is, he verbalizes. He speaks. He proclaims. He brags. He boasts before man. In case of the angelic conflict, Satan boasts before angels. Hey, all you angels, I will be like God. Remember, he was the priest angel. He would go to God, he'd come down to angels, and he would tell them things for God. And then he represented the angels before God. He and God, he and Christ, walked in the garden in the third heaven. And he would represent the angels to God. One time, some point, he came down to earth, and he looked at himself, and he told the angels, hey, gang, I will be like God. Follow me. See? And a third of the angels got into it. They followed him. See? They followed what he said. Boasting. You've got to say, speak it. You've got to come out in your words how wonderful you are. See? And preachers often do this. See? Oh, I have a word from God. And this is given to me personally and privately and all. No, 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 no. Don't go bragging. See? And we should not. You just speak the truth of the Word of God. Okay, we're at this point, and I'm going to stop right here, and we'll begin here next Sunday morning, the first Sunday of the new year. We'll begin with how the wicked boast, and how they do it verbally, and we'll come to this next Sunday morning. So let's close now in a word of prayer. Get ready for our second class on predestination. Father, okay, Father, we love learning about the tribulation, the rapture, second advent. A study like this hits us right where we live. How we're prone to boasting. How we're prone to jealousy in our flesh nature. And how that will circumvent fulfilling your plan for us in our life. How that will deplete us of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. So, Father, we pray now your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, let them settle in our souls and challenge us in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.